Why don't we start, Bob, with the migrants that are being sent from the Rio Grande Valley to El Paso? Why El Paso?
These migrants are coming from the Rio Grande Valley, which is the focal point of the current migration surge from Central America, and the Border Patrol stations there are overwhelmed as they try to process these people. So they made a decision to start sending groups of them to El Paso, Laredo, and Del Rio. We know that El Paso is receiving 270 people a day on two flights, very similar to something that happened here in 2014 when we had the first really big surge of Central American migrants. So they come here on the plane, they're processed by Border Patrol agents, given a notice to appear in immigration court, and then released first to Annunciation House, which is a nonprofit that provides hospitality services to migrants in El Paso. And then they'll eventually get on a plane or bus and join family elsewhere in the United States. Annunciation House is stressing that these folks are all tested for COVID-19. Anybody who's COVID positive will be isolated. COVID negative people will be allowed to go to the shelter and then go join their families.
Governor Greg Abbott made a claim during a speech from the border the other day, saying that Border Patrol agents haven't had access to COVID-19 vaccinations. Has there been any talk about that there in El Paso?
Well, it came as news to the Border Patrol, who have been for quite some time using the VA to receive COVID-19 vaccines. And last I checked, the VA is a federal agency. The governor, who just lifted COVID requirements in Texas because in his view things are going so well, is now turning around and suggesting that these migrants are a threat to spread COVID. So it's not an unfamiliar playbook. This trope of disease-ridden immigrants is as old as our country itself.
Well, let's move on to that item then. Next on the list, everybody's wondering what will happen with all restrictions being lifted across Texas.
So on Wednesday, March 10th, the governor's executive order went into effect that eliminated things like the mask requirements, limited capacity in stores and things like that. This comes at a time, as I just mentioned, that things have been going in the right direction in Texas with a steep decline in cases. In El Paso, our infection and hospitalization rates have declined to points we haven't seen since last fall. So certainly very positive news there, and we're getting a lot of people vaccinated. But there's a concern now with these restrictions lifted. If people begin to gather in large groups without masks, it could trigger another surge in cases. That won't become evident for another two or three weeks if it does happen. But I think everybody is watching that very closely, including the governor.
And with the time we have left, a major cyber attack at UTEP has been wreaking havoc. What happened?
UTEP's computer systems went down last Friday, and they took down all of their technology systems to be on the safe side. They have not been very transparent about what's been going on. They did say that it was possibly because of what they call a malicious intrusion into their systems. When our reporter Joelle Jackson checked with the FBI earlier in the week, they said UTEP hadn't contacted them about any issue like that. So we don't know what's happened. We do know that it's been very, very disruptive. We're going on almost a week now with these problems, which is, really, really long time for a systems outage like this. So UTEP's not really making any officials available to answer any questions and trying to really keep the lid on things over there. Eventually, they're going to have to talk in more detail about what really seems to be, at least for our region, a very unprecedented breach of technology systems.
And it's affecting students and classes that are done online, no doubt.
It is. They did, one of the first systems they were able to get back up is the Blackboard system, which is what they use for online classes. But students were unable to communicate with professors for a while, you know, we're coming up on spring break and midterms, and the students we've talked to are just, as you can imagine, incredibly stressed, as are faculty members. Faculty still doesn't have access to their email. So a lot of information there about grants they have and how they manage the grants. And so it's causing havoc at every level of the university.
All right, Bob. Well, thank you very much for the updates. You can find these stories and more at elpasomatters.org. Have a wonderful week.
You too. Thanks so much.